Hello, you are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us for Community Conversations. Today we are interviewing John Walker. Transportation networks like Lyft, Uber, bus systems, and disability services like VIA are very important for the blind and visually impaired communities in Colorado. In order for someone to be independent, they must have a network of reliable and trustworthy companies that can get them to where they need to be, responsibly and affordably. So what does it mean for companies like these to be accessible and sustainable? Well, today we welcome Sustainability Policy Manager of Lyft, John Walker, who can tell us about what Lyft is doing for our community and beyond. How are you, John Walker? I'm so happy to have you here on Community Conversations.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, what exactly is Lyft?
Yeah, so Lyft is a peer-to-peer rideshare service. And what that means is that folks who have a qualifying vehicle can sign up to be a driver on our app. We have an app platform. Then they go through a background check. They get their vehicle inspected. And then they're officially allowed to become a Lyft driver. And then folks who want to access a ride use the app, or we also have a desktop version. We actually also have a call-in center, which I'll talk a little bit more about as it relates to low vision and blind passengers. Folks can then request a ride, and then our computer algorithm matches a rider with a driver, and the vehicle comes, the rider gets in, verifies it's the right vehicle, and gets a ride to their final destination. And then the payment and the rating and the tip is all taken care of electronically through the app, and that's the end of the ride.
So it's pretty much a nice, easy alternative to like a old-fashioned type of taxi or something like that.
Yeah, in a sense, it's very similar to a traditional taxi system, except it's more peer-to-peer. Most of our drivers are not doing it full-time. They're doing it temporarily. They're in between jobs, or they're, you know, a musician in between gigs, or they're a teacher on the summer. So drivers are doing it part-time or temporarily. And then the tech is really what sets us apart, is that it's all handled on the app. And it has other safety features that like you can monitor the ride and verify your driver, et cetera.
That's really cool. So I know Lyft is doing a lot for accessibility nowadays. Tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing.
Yeah. So I want to talk primarily about as it relates to low vision or blind riders. We do have the ability for low vision and blind riders to utilize the service. And every week we have a meeting where we go over the product features such that folks with low vision or who are blind can do the golden path, we call it, so that they can access the app, request a vehicle, get the ride, pay for the ride, and rate that. Mm-hmm. And we actually have one of our engineers is blind, and so he's on that team to make sure that whatever we do with the app is still accessible for low vision folks. And one thing I did want to point out, obviously I can't do that on the radio program here, but if you go to YouTube and you search Lyft and low vision or Lyft and blind access, there are a couple of really great walkthroughs that blind folks have done showing how to use the Lyft app. And I watched a couple of them, and it's really good to see the whole flow from start to finish. So if you're interested or you're feeling nervous about it, you can watch that and just see how someone else has navigated the product.
That's really cool how you guys really put that focus on the app, because to be independent and to be a person who can call your own ride, like to have an accessible app really gives blind and low vision people a really accessible way to get a ride. So I think that's really cool. You guys have a blind engineer, and that really says a lot about the company right there.
Yeah, it's great. And I think often sighted folks take advantage that they can drive a car across town. So we're really focused on opening up mobility, not just so people with a car can give up a car, but increasing access for folks who don't have mobility currently.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So I hear you guys are collaborating with the National Federation of the Blind. So what's that all about?
Yeah, so we've been working with the National Federation of the Blind for years now, first on just making sure the product was accessible. And most recently, we did something very exciting in Las Vegas. So National Federation of the Blind had their conference in Las Vegas in July. And we're partnered with a technology company called Aptiv that makes autonomous vehicles. So these are vehicles that drive themselves, which is really cool. As you know, the technologist engineer in me thinks it's cool. But beyond that, it's going to provide low cost mobility to a lot of folks, especially folks with low vision. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we gave rides to about 50 or so low vision and blind folks in Las Vegas in these self-driving cars on the Las Vegas Strip. just to demonstrate that this is a technology that you can imagine down the road a few years. We're not exactly sure how long, but this could become a primary mode of transportation for low-sighted and blind folks.
Wow. So is there, like, a person operating it? Like, is it – how does that work?
Yeah. So right now there is what's called a safety driver, and the mm-hmm. safety driver sits in the driver's seat. The safety driver only really touches the wheel. I think we're up to touches the steering wheel once every 5,000 miles.
Wow.
So you can imagine that's like going 6 months without touching the steering wheel. So we're close to being able to take that safety driver out. We're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we also did is just to help folks get familiar with the technology, along with Aptiv, we created a Braille manual that's an introduction to autonomous vehicle technology. And if you mm-hmm. search that, you can find that that guide.
Wow. So what are the differences from, like, a rider point of view if they're using these self-driving vehicles versus just how the traditional how it's done now?
So our goal is that it's seamless. So our goal is that it's the same. It's just a robot picks you up essentially instead of mm-hmm. a human driver, which, of course, there are pros and cons. You know, I like chatting with the driver sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to chat with the driver. So with a computer, it'll obviously be the latter. We want it to be the safest driver on Earth, so that's the bar we're setting. We want it to be as safe as the safest human driver. So it should be transparent, other than it's a very, very safe driver.
Wow, so it's going to be safer. Will there be more rides available versus, like, more drivers since they're going to be computers? Or
yeah, that's the hope. I mean, one of the interesting things about our business is that we spend a lot of time recruiting drivers. And like mm-hmm. I said earlier in the program, drivers are driving temporarily or part-time. So then when a driver goes back, you know, back to teaching, or their band takes off, or they get a full-time job again, they stop driving and we have to go recruit more drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So the hope is that we're never going to have to touch the human drivers. We're going to add autonomous vehicles. And then the really cool thing is the cost of those autonomous vehicles can theoretically be much lower.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So you can imagine for someone who can't drive their own car, you could get the cost down to something more similar to that.
Yeah, that's some amazing stuff right there. So the technology is there. It's just really making sure that it's reliable and safe and just working out those last kinks.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, we're 90-something percent of the way there, and that last couple percent is the hardest.
Wow.
Because, you know, on the Las Vegas Strip, we've mapped out the roads perfectly well. The vehicles have done it, you know, hundreds of thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting to focus on those bizarre things, like a woman chased a chicken into the street with an umbrella
mm-hmm.
and the car didn't know what to do. Right?
Yeah.
And so we're in those, like, fringe cases trying to figure out that last 1% so that our vehicles can handle everything.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. That's the future right there.
Yes.
That's really cool. So besides accessibility, I know Lyft is also very well renowned for their sustainability efforts. I was reading a blog from the Lyft blog the other day, and they said Lyft's efforts will reduce CO2 emissions for the U.S. transportation sector as a whole by at least 5 million tons per year by the year 2025. So that's really significant. What do you know about that?
Yeah, well, so that's a great blog. I worked on that one. Glad you read
nice.
It. So the strategy there is twofold. One, we currently purchase renewable energy credits to offset the carbon of every single ride. So when you take a Lyft ride, you can be confident that you are not adding to the CO2 emissions in the environment because we offset it with wind and solar. That's still not as good as every vehicle being electric powered by wind or solar, and so that's where we're headed. And what my team is primarily working on is making electric vehicles powered by renewable energy available to our drivers. So
mm-hmm.
if a driver wants to drive a clean vehicle and they don't have one, which most of our drivers do not because electric vehicles are very expensive, we have a rental program whereby they can rent a vehicle, and we're trying to make it so they can rent an electric vehicle.
Wow.
And that alone, you know, if we can electrify that portion of our rides, that'll get us to that 5 million tons and beyond. And then down the road, what we're shooting for is we'd love every vehicle on the platform to be electric, all powered by renewable energy.
Wow. I love that you guys have a plan for that, because being any big company has this potential to make a difference, and it sounds like Lyft is really making those moves to do that.
Yeah, we're trying for sure. Yeah.
That's really cool. So the self-driving cars, are those going to be electric or some kind of renewable?
That's, the goal is at some point they will be. We did mm-hmm. a partnership with a company in Boston, and they were using electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really exciting, an autonomous vehicle company. Some of the vehicles are hybrids right now. The vehicles have a lot of technical requirements, and so right now we're just trying to solve the daunting task of making a car drive itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think our electric vehicle program and our autonomous program will intersect down the road. And
gotcha.
So that's the, you know, the dream scenario is it's 2030 and everybody's taking these super safe, clean, shared vehicles.
Yeah, that's really cool. Does the idea of just like ride sharing and those options that Lyft offers, does that in itself help reduce greenhouse gases as well?
Yeah, so if you're just taking a Lyft by yourself, it's not any better than just driving that car, right? Because
mm-hmm.
it's the same vehicle. But we do offer shared service.
Mm-hmm.
So in shared Lyft, our computer algorithm matches you with another rider. So essentially you're carpooling with a stranger that's going your similar direction. And in that case, it's much better for the environment.
Yeah.
So we have a goal of getting to 50% shared rides by 2020, by the end of next year. And if we can do that, if we can get our percentage of shared rides up, if we can get our percentage of clean vehicles up,
mm-hmm.
then certainly Lyft becomes a boon for the environment.
Yeah. So why would someone not do a shared ride? Just comfort?
Yeah, I suppose two reasons. It does add the small time component of picking
mm-hmm.
someone else up.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes people just want the car all to themselves. But I take shared all the time because,
yeah.
you know, you don't have to talk to the other person, but sometimes, you know, you make a new friend on your commute to work.
Yeah, I use Lyft, and I always do the shared option, and it's a little cheaper, and it's always been a fine experience. And sometimes I even make a friend or have a good conversation while I'm on the ride.
Yeah, so good for everyone. Yeah,
it's been a good experience
good,
for me
good,
personally,
good.
And it's saving the environment because you don't have to take two rides
mm-hmm.
to get somewhere; it's just one for multiple people. So, a lot of benefits in that option. That's really cool. So what else is in the plans for the future of Lyft, either accessibility-wise or sustainability-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've touched on the future mostly. We've touched
mm-hmm.
on, you know, our goal is to automate the vehicles so that they're ubiquitous, safe, and cost-effective compared
mm-hmm.
to owning and operating a car. And then we want to electrify them so that they're clean, power them by renewable energy. And then we want to make the product seamless so that people share.
Yeah.
So the future is this shared electric automated system of vehicles. And our dream scenario is, you know, the average U.S. family has 2.7 vehicles per family.
Wow.
So it's a lot. We would love to get down to maybe every family has one vehicle. It's the family
mm-hmm.
car for whatever. And we, you know, I ski, you know, people want to drive up and go skiing or camping
yeah.
or whatever. But maybe for their other trips, they take this shared clean service. And then in dense cities where maybe you don't need a car, maybe cities could have a 90%, some studies say cities could have a 90% reduction in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And half of each city is devoted to car parking, like Denver.
Wow.
Half of Denver is devoted to parking.
Wow.
So imagine if you were to take that and repurpose it for parks or office space or housing. Imagine what Denver would look like with no parking on the street. You could make bike lanes. You could make more lanes of traffic. So we kind of envision redesigning our cities
mm-hmm.
around people instead of around cars, because really since the 1950s, our cities have been designed around cars.
Wow, I never thought about it that way. So you guys are really thinking big picture. Like with services like Lyft, people won't need two cars, or they might not even need any cars, because if they only need a car once a week, then they can just get a Lyft ride.
Exactly. So we're thinking big. We're thinking about changing cities. And then it's not just about us. It's also about we have partnerships with 42 public transit agencies
mm-hmm.
where we are taking people to and from public transit. And so it might not make sense to take a Lyft trip, you know, to the airport, but maybe you take a Lyft trip to the park and ride, and then you take the train or the bus to the airport.
Yeah.
And then everybody wins in that scenario too. And then we also have North America's largest bike share system.
Okay, wow.
So we are the largest bike provider in New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, and that has been phenomenally successful.
Do you have bike shares in Denver?
We do not. So
okay.
so we have scooters in Denver.
Yes.
So in Denver we have electric scooters, and we just worked with the city to pass an ordinance so that those
mm-hmm.
aren't on the sidewalks anymore, so they can be in the proper place on the bike lane.
Yeah.
And so we're working on, you know, safety and accessibility for the scooters as well.
Wow. Yeah, here at ANC, we read, like, the Denver Post and everything like that. So as I listen and monitor, there's been a lot of articles about the scooters and how they're thinking about having I think it's the Lyft scooters
mm-hmm.
in Boulder.
Yeah, so Boulder, you know, Boulder has not allowed them yet, and that's okay. And we know cities are going at different paces. But I think, you know, I'm from Boulder, and, like, one of the things that strikes me is Boulder would be the ideal city to put it all together, to do bikes, to do scooters, to do shared rides, to do transit. And I think a place like Boulder, we could put it all together, and it's kind of a nice little microcosm. So
that's
hoping
cool.
hoping they come to my hometown soon.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like the scooters are good for sustainability because I've used them a lot. And I think they're awesome because when I go to Denver, I can park farther away from the event, and then instead of taking like a whole Lyft car to go somewhere, I just take a Lyft scooter, and I can get to where I need to be like very quick. And those are electric, so they don't have much of a footprint.
Yeah, not much of a footprint, and then what little energy they have, we buy renewable energy for it.
So they're really great
for zipping around the city. We know there have been some, you know, not everybody's thrilled with them on the sidewalks, and so we've worked to get them off the sidewalks so that those are for, you know, walking.
Yeah, I've heard they're going to be crunching down on the legal, you know, the laws surrounding it, which is probably good.
Yep, and we're totally in favor of that and supportive of that. What we want is bike lanes and scooter lanes and dedicated infrastructure to support something that could be transformational.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and it kind of fits into your big plan of having the cities, like you said, based off the people and not off the cars. And I've never thought about it that way. I think that's a really cool way to look at a greener future.
Yeah, greener cities, happier people, lower costs, lower incidences of, you know, safer. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So for any of the listeners out there, if you've never used Lyft before, how would they get started? What options do they have for calling a Lyft ride?
Yeah, so there's three. The most common is the app. So if you have an Android or an iPhone, you can go to the App Store or the Apple Store, and you can download the app. And then there's a setting if you are low vision or blind that you can turn on. You could also, if you have a desktop, you can access what's called our concierge service. And so I think it's Lyft.concierge. But if you just Google Lyft Concierge, it comes up. So it's a desktop version of the app.
Okay.
And then there's also a way to have third-party folks. If you don't feel comfortable using the desktop or the app, you can have a third-party use the concierge system to book you a ride.
So is that just like a number you call?
So the concierge is online.
Gotcha.
And then
okay.
in certain places, there is a call center.
Okay.
But that's very dependent by where you are.
Do you happen to know if there's call centers around Colorado?
I believe there's one in Denver, but I'd have to check on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're usually in partnership. When we do a partnership with someone, we usually set up a call center. So it depends if the partnership's active or not.
I see. Yeah. So probably the best way to do it is through the app, and then you can also do it through the desktop.
Okay. I would recommend, yeah. If you feel comfortable with the app, great. If not, the desktop is great, too.
Okay. With the accessible app, does it just have, like, a voice that comes on?
It does. And, I'd recommend going to YouTube and watching one of these, one of the walkthroughs on YouTube. But, yes, you swipe through, and when you swipe, it gives you the audio prompt of what you're on, and so you swipe and it asks you where you are, so you can just dictate where you are. Then you swipe and it asks you where you want to go. You can dictate where you want to go. Then you swipe and it asks you do you want to book the ride. You swipe and it does, and then you can send a little note, and the guy in the YouTube video he sends a little voice memo that says, I'm visually impaired, please pull into the driveway. And then it'll alert you when the vehicle arrives. And then, similarly, you swipe when you're done with the ride to pay, and then you swipe again, and it asks you how you want to rate the ride.
Easy peasy. Okay.
Yeah, not too bad.
Very cool. Was there any last things you want to say?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered all the stuff.
I think so, too. All right. Well, I'm going to close out here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. This is the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us for your community conversations. My name is Alex, and as always, we invite you to please stay tuned for our next program.